September 14th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to study from Psalm 76, The Majesty of God in Judgment. To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm of Asaph, a song. In Judah God is known, His name is great in Israel. Knowing God and fearing God is so important. If we do that, we will be given the wisdom and the direction in life. I was not seeking the Lord that wholeheartedly from the beginning, but because of His leading, I learned to walk with Him. And at my workplace or in any other situations, God has given me the wisdom and direction I needed I needed in each and every stage of my life. I also learn about the world, like the politics, like how fraudulent the election and the system and the people can be. In Salem also is His tabernacle, and in His dwelling place in Zion. The Salem is about Jerusalem. In the Old Testament era, that's where God chose to dwell. It was not Babylon or Assyria. It was Jerusalem where God chose to reside. And Jerusalem can be also a symbol of the church, because that's where God resides. Because God dwells in the church, and then we learn about Him, and we obtain the eternal life. We also receive revelations and we learn about the enemies. Verse 3 and 4. There He broke the arrows of the bow and the shield and sword of battle. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. In the Old Testament, people were always fighting. Jerusalem was no exception. In modern times, we might live in a peace in Japan, but it does not mean that we don't have to fight. We are always fighting with different kind of enemy. Please remember that. Some people say that those who attack Christians are non-Christians. Well, they are the enemies, they say. But if you read the Bible, that is not what it says. When Jesus was on the earth, those who tried to stop Him from doing His work were the Pharisees, scribes, and lawyers. They tried to trap Him in speech and then tried to stop Him doing the work of God. And I believe this kind of persecution will happen again to the Christians in the end time. And it will last for 3.5 years, the same length of Jesus' ministry. I believe that the tribulation will last for 3.5 years, and the most persecution will come from within. Just like the Pharisees, the religious elite, Christian will be the one who will persecute the righteous Christians in the end time. But the verse 3 says, the Lord Himself will fight for us. For it says, there He broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and sword of battle. When the enemy shoots out the arrow with fire, everything will catch fire. I think this is talking about the spiritual realm where demonic influence will spread like a wildfire. So those who do not walk straight will be burned down and will perish in the flood in the time like the time of Noah. The Bible says the end time is like a time of Noah and Lot. So the flood will come for sure. Like when the tsunami hit Japan on March 11th, people in that region all got hit by tsunami. Some survived miraculously, but the flood came to both righteous and unrighteous people. It will be so in the end time. But Noah built the ark, and he and his family survived the flood. So if we build the ark, which is the presence of the Lord, you will not be deceived by the flooding of the evil spirits, like false revival. I was also deceived by a false revival of Benny Hinn. When he came to Japan, I went to see his service, and I met many of my church members there. And I wanted to sit in front to receive blessings, but I got there late and I was sitting in the balcony seat. But as I pursued the Lord, I eventually learned that this was a false revival, and he was even calling on demons behind the scene. So I believe that kind of arrows from the enemy has been and will be broken in this church, since we are not tolerating this kind of false revival. I am not asking any of you to go see some of so-called revivalists. With God's mercy, we are protected from such deception and we are able to see the truth. God has given us the sword and the shield, and with them, we protect ourselves from the wrong doctrines, and we also break them. Verse 5 to 7. The stout-hearted were plundered, they have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you're angry. Another thing that's going to happen in the end time is everyone is going to fall asleep, and many people will be deceived. The Bible talks about it in many places that many Christians will fall asleep. There's a parable of wise virgin and foolish virgins will fall asleep when the groom comes later than expected. There's another example in Isaiah 29:9-12. Stay yourself and wonder, cry ye out, and cry, they're drunken, and not with wine, they staggered, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers have covered, and the vision of all become unto you as the words of book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I am not learned. As these verses say, the spirit of sleep will come to people in the end time. And as the verse 10 says, for the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers has he covered. He's talking about the religious leaders, learned Bible scholars and opinion leaders. Those are the people who will be put to sleep, and they will not be able to open the book and understand the revelation about the end time. So, when we have visitors from another church, and we ask them whether they study the book of Revelation, most of them say no, and I think most of them don't talk about the book of Revelation because they don't understand it, and they don't have much to talk about it. And even if they did, they might just read the Bible and then speak for 5 minutes or so, because they have not received any revelations to explain the whole picture in details. But as for us, we are going to hold the 36th seminar on the subject of revelations tonight. This is because they received the spirit of sleep from the Lord. The book of Revelation contains all the answers from the end, about the end time, but the book is sealed because God sealed it from some people who is not doing God's will. So they don't know what to do, and they can't warn people either. It is like when Jesus was on earth, those religious leaders had the book of Daniel, but they were blinded, and they could not see that Jesus was the Messiah they were waiting for, which was clearly written in the book. They could not see it, and I believe the same thing will happen in the end time. So the verse 5, the stout-hearted were plundered, they have sunk into their sleep, is exactly what is happening now. And none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. And the reason why this is happening to many Christians now is because God is angry at many of his church now. If you don't understand that, you will not be able to understand much of the messages. But we shall not be so. We need to be awake and alert. Verse 8-10, you yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry, you cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed to the earth. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you, with the reminder of wrath you shall gird yourself. Bible often talk about God's helping the oppressed and the poor. Poor and needy are often favored by God, and rich and powerful are despised. For that, let's look at chapter 19, and verse 20-24. The young man says unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Here, his problem is being rich. It does not matter how much he has. He was perfect in his deeds. for the Bible says. He says unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself, as thyself. The young man says unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? In other words, this rich man was able to do everything without God's help, but he could not give up his ability to do these things, including his material possessions. He could not give up, he could not give them up. So people who can do many things, talented people who can do all things without God's help, for those people, it is very difficult for them to enter into the kingdom of God. So the disciples ask, when his disciple heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So when you know who are the poor and needy and oppressed, they are the ones who cannot do anything without God. But God always helps them and favors them. The Bible also talks about God favoring orphans and widows. Orphan means that they don't have father. But it could also mean that people who do not have earthly father, but only heavenly father. But the Bible says, we shall not call anyone father. Like, that's what exactly they do in Catholics. Widow also means those who is waiting to be united with a heavenly husband. Those people tend to see more persecutions and difficulties, but God always favors them and protect them. Verse 11 and 12, make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring present to him, who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirits of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. Talking about vows, that of Jacob is a very famous one. He vows to give one-tenth of his belongings. We went over that yesterday, the different kind of walk one could have. Walking to serve God and walking away from God. And I believe Malachi talks about it. As you know, from the New Testament, all the teachings were given to the disciples who served the Lord. Well, there are many who followed Jesus and ate with him and heard him preaching, but none of them were appointed to do what the apostles did. Jesus said the mystery of kingdom of God was revealed to the apostles, but not to the others. Those who ate the bread only ate the bread and didn't learn it, the mystery of the kingdom. And such mystery was given to those who served the Lord. In human eyes, we think it is better to be the one to be served than being the one who served. But that is not the case in the kingdom of God. When you serve him, that's when you will start entering into the promises God has for you. And as you read, all the important works to serve the Lord in the Old Testament was done by Levi. If it was handled by other people other than Levi, they would have been killed. And the blessings from God comes to those who are serving the Lord. And again, verse 12, he shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. As we read in the morning service, those who perish for a reason, and those who are saved get saved for a reason. Your life doesn't get destroyed for no reason. We have to have a correct knowledge of how to live in this life.